Else. Tailoring is available, so stop in the Dress for Success shop and let them fit you perfectly. Hours are 8 till 5, Monday through Friday, noon till 4, Saturday. The public is always welcome.
With United Express flights direct to Chicago, the possibilities are endless. Well-timed flights from Houghton County Memorial Airport provide passengers with access to nearly 570 daily flights heading to more than 125 domestic and more than 30 international destinations. United connects Chicago to more of the world than any other airline. Plus, frequent flyer members can accrue United Mileage Plus miles to use for award travel on United and its 28 Star Alliance partners. It's close to home and reliable. Book now at united.com.
State Farm, this is Kristen.
Wow, it's 3 a.m. You guys really are always there for me 24-7. That's like better than my mother.
Better than who?
Mom, get off the phone!
Where was this person when you needed your diapers changed?
Mom, please, get off the phone!
Or when you needed to be tucked in bed till you were 15 years old.
Okay, Kristen, I'll call you back.
State Farm is there for you 24-7, like no one else. Get to a better state.
Visit your Kelly Jepson State Farm office in Houghton. Call 482-1210 or visit the website for more information.
Welcome back to the Mel Pearson Show, brought to you in part by Coke Zero. Coke Zero, all the taste, zero calories. Coke Zero, proud sponsor of the Mel Pearson Show, Hancock Bottling Coca-Cola. All right, well, we just talked a little bit about the Friday game, the 3-0 loss. Let's talk about the 1-1 overtime tie against Michigan, and our Minnesota State, sorry. And it was on Saturday night, taking on the 17th-ranked Mavericks. Much better game overall from the Huskies. I thought right off the bat, Coach, the team looked like you said, were skating, moving their feet, and involved in plays early on.
We are much better from the get-go. And I thought overall it was a much better hockey game. I thought both teams were more into the game, but I thought we came out and dictated the pace of play in the first period, and was happy to see that. And obviously Phoenix, you know, had to make a save or two again in the first period, but overall much better, much more flow to the game.
Well, we score first too, and it's relatively early in the game. We had not scored the entire series yet, and we come out and get the lead. 5:55 mark of the period, CJ Eich with a beautiful pass to Shane Hanna. Also getting an assist, Malcolm Gould. We'll talk about the goal after we hear it.
Right back up now by the Mavericks. Across the Michigan Tech line. Blocked there by Shane Hanna. Hanna not able to force it outside of the zone. Knocked down on the play. And coming up with it now, Michigan Tech's Gould up to CJ Eich. Eich bringing it down on the wing. Looking in front. Passes it. Shot! Scores! What a play by the Huskies! CJ Eich to Shane Hanna coming down the middle slot. And he one-timed it right past Huggins. The Huskies get their first goal of the weekend.
Just a beautiful pass by CJ Eich through a maze of legs and skates. At least it appeared that way. And Malcolm Gould with a nice chip out to start the play.
Well, no question. And we talk about what we call pushing the pace. And that means, when we're on our breakout, as a weak side forward is coming across to support the puck carrier and to back their defenseman off a little bit. And this is the difference. We were anticipating and getting out there sooner than just reacting, and really Malcolm started the whole play. He really pushed the pace, and we were skating. So now there's some room to skate. We came up the ice with real good speed there, and really what helped the goal is after we crossed their blue line in the offensive zone is Malcolm Gould really drove the net hard, and when the man in the middle drives the net hard, he takes people with him, and it opened up a seam to Shane Hanna, who had joined the rush. He moved up in the play, and we always ask our defensemen to move up with the play. That's their back checking, following the rush up the play. For a couple of reasons, you're in good position offensively if you need to jump in, and you're in good position defensively because you have a tighter gap. You're not caught so far back if there's a turnover transition. So that's their back checking, and obviously there's not too many other guys right now you want with that puck in that area. And Shane, what I like about it, he didn't handle the puck. He just shot it. He got it and shot it, but there's a ton of traffic, a lot going on, but real nice play by CJ to find Shane, and then just a great shot. And Shane's had a tremendous year. Shane Hanna leads all, get a load of this, Dirk. Shane Hanna leads all WCHA defenseman in conference scoring as a freshman, and there's some outstanding defensemen in this league, but he has had a tremendous year for us, and the thing I like about it is he's a plus player, so he's been on the ice, obviously, for more goals for than, obviously, goals against. To do that as a freshman, I mean, I think defense is the toughest position to me to break into college hockey because of the pressure you deal with from other teams' forechecks and whatnot and the strength of the players. And he has had just a tremendous year, and I hope he gets recognized for his play from the coaches around the league. But a big-time goal got us off to a great start in that game.
Well, and isn't it true on that play when you're talking about telling the defenseman to move up in the play and be a part of the play that they're the last guys that are going to be covered too? I mean, they're usually open, aren't they?
Well, yeah, the way things are now, every team sort of puts back pressure, back checks so hard to the net that, you know, a lot of times if you're that second wave of players coming into the zone that you're open because, you know, we're all coaching and preaching, you know, to put come back to the net, come back to your own net, your defensive zone to your net, and then fan out from there. And that's what happened on that play. You know, sometimes you get puck watching or you don't read the situation and realize, oh, we got two guys back already. Well, I got to start turning around and looking for that second wave to come in. And that's what happened on that goal.
CJ Eich seemed to have one of his best games of the season. You had him out there. Am I right that you threw him out there maybe more than you normally would after you felt maybe he was playing really well? Am I wrong?
Yeah, a couple times I double-shifted him. I put him out with Alex Patan and Tanner Caro. And, in fact, later on in the game, he made a great play to Tanner Caro from behind the net there that could have won, should have won the game for us. But no, CJ was having a good game, and he had some speed. And, you know, Tanner can skate, and he had some speed with Tanner. And, you know, Alex Patan's might not be the fastest guy, but, you know, he's a playmaker and a goal scorer. And if you get him with a couple guys who can create some space and opportunities, then that makes him a better player too. But that's why we threw CJ out with that line a few times. But, yeah, and the thing about it is he can handle the workload because he is a good skater. You know, he's not a real big guy, so there's not a lot to carry, and he keeps himself in good shape and great shape, and I thought he just had a real good game on Saturday.
So we have a 1-0 lead at the 5:55 mark of the first period. Again, it was Shane Hanna's fourth of the season from CJ Eich and Malcolm Gould, and we get done with the first period and we outshoot them 9-8 and actually looking pretty good.
Well, I thought we had a good period, you know, on the road against a good team who's got a lot on the line, and just like we do, I thought for a road game against a top team, we played a very solid first period, a good road first period, and to get the lead, I think, Dirk, also is real important.
Well, no doubt about it. So we go into the second period. We get a little bit of penalty trouble, don't we?
Yeah, we do. You know, the penalties start happening there, and it's. You know, you're going to have to kill some penalties on the road. But, you know, a team like they are, you have to be real careful about how many penalties you take and what type of penalties you're taking. But we got in a little bit of penalty trouble. It wasn't, you know, really till later on. I mean, Cliff Watson took one, and then you got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Here's where game management, understanding the situation, where you are in the game, how the game's being played, where the penalty's been taken, and Brad Stebner ends up taking a 5-minute penalty. And I can't tell you it's a 5-minute penalty, but you got 3 seconds left in the 10 seconds left in the period. You're in their offensive zone. You've outshot them 10-3 in the period. They're going nowhere at this point. We are playing well, and you know, we get a 5-minute major with 3 seconds left, and that's where you have to understand as a player where you are on the ice, what's going on, the time, and what you're going to do. You got to be really careful there, and it was an unfortunate call, but you can't put yourself in that position to even give the referee a chance to call it. And we find out in our game, or we see in our game, is you know, these guys get hit and they lay on the ice, and that's what really, you know that gets to me.
I mentioned that
bit.
On the air that our guy,
Cliff Watson gets hit right a back. Lot harder and from behind into the boards. And I tell our guys, if you're hurt, you stay down. But if you're not, you get up. You get up. And Cliff got up, and it was a bad hit.
It was a very hard
lot, hit. Lot worse than McGinnis wasn't against the boards. It was just a high hit. And, you can debate that. But he lays down there like he's, been shot. And that bothers me, it bothers me. And he's a big, strong kid, been, a good hockey player, but really puts the officials in a tough spot.
So they had already taken the 5-minute major in the first period, right. And we kind of know that they're going to, like you said, going to look for anything that they can possibly call. And Brad Stebner's called for the 5-bit majors. He's gone for the rest of the game. And we give them, fortunately, they took a retaliation penalty to even things up for the first 2 minutes of this third period.
Well, no question. And, we had a real good second period. And we had some great chances. You know, Tanner Carroll walks in on a breakaway. And, Huggins makes a real good save on him. That was shorthanded. And, you know, we had a couple other real good scoring opportunities in that period. We just couldn't finish, and now the game stays.